Father, we come today and we look at your word as a treasure, because when we open that treasure box, we pull out all kinds of treasures. And you have given us all of the things that we're going to need in order to make this journey, and in order to make it safely home, and in order to draw the strength and the encouragement that we need along the way. Thank you that Jesus has already paved the way. Thank you that he has already made the way. He has already shown us the way. And all we have to do is follow what you have clearly laid out for us. Help us in this day of distractions, where there are so many things to distract us away, to, Lord, just stay in your word, to stay focused on your plan, both in the general sense and also for our individual lives. And may we be walking with you, that on any given day it can be said, I am walking with Jesus, and I am walking with the King, and he is walking with me, and he is leading and he is guiding every step of the way. Lord, may we experience your presence in a special way in our lives in this year 2012, and may you be working in us and through us for your honor and your glory. These things we ask humbly in the name of Christ Jesus, our conquering Savior. In his name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now there's an insert today, like there always is, but there aren't but three blanks, and they're all the way down at the bottom of the page. And when we get to the other part, I just left it there, and you'll know when we're there. But as we've talked about, there's a lot of challenges, no doubt, coming up in 2012. Some of them may be out in the world, and some of them may be in our own lives. And some of us maybe will face one of the most difficult years we've ever had. And you say, well, here you are starting out the year already. You know, everybody should be optimistic. We don't know that. The year could be a very, very rough year. We do not know that. What we do know is that the Lord has provided for us ahead of time. And the Lord knows if there's anything down the road that we don't even know yet, he already knows about it. And so there's nothing that's going to catch him by surprise. It may catch us by surprise. And a lot of times when things catch us by surprise, you know, it kind of knocks us off balance for a little bit. And it takes us a little while sometimes to get our bearings. And that is why it is so important that we begin the year and begin to live this way. Now, the Lord gave me this message about 3 weeks ago, and I had thought I would share it on the first Sunday of the year. But the Lord led me another way that day, and then we had the abatis here last week. So just consider today the first Sunday. By the way, it's only 12 weeks till Easter, just for your information. But here we are. We're going to count today as the first day of January and looking forward. Now, this is entitled By Faith, because faith, it says in 1 John, is the victory that overcomes the world. And everybody that overcomes the world, there is only one way that a person is going to overcome the world, and that is through their personal faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and through their personal walk with him. Nobody overcomes the world. And overcoming the world automatically implies that we are strangers in this world, and that we are living as aliens in this world, and that this world is no friend of ours. We are not enmeshed in this world. We are in this world in physical bodies. We have families. We have jobs, hopefully. We all share many of the same experiences. But the child of God is on their way to the place we were singing about in that song, I'm a Child of the King. And those who aren't serving the Lord, they're on their way somewhere else. So we share a lot of things in common in our daily lives, but where we're headed are two totally different and distinct things. And we need to have our minds on the things that are above and not on the things down here, and have our sights set so that even as we live here, each day is going to get us a little bit closer home. And if we get too enmeshed in the things of this world here and now, we're going to lose sight of what our real purpose is. Amen? We're going to lose sight of what the goal really is. And so faith is focusing on that which we cannot see, but which we know to be true. Faith, as described in chapter 11 of Hebrews, is a lot more than believing there's a God. It's even more than having trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. Now, to say that you believe there's a God, the Bible says the devils believe and tremble. They know that there's a God. But that doesn't mean that they're serving God, and it doesn't mean that they're in a relationship with God. So just saying, I believe there's a God, that's fine, but that isn't going to save any of us. We're only saved when we put our personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But even that step, that gets me in. That gets me in. That gets me in to the family of God. That gets me in. But that's only the beginning of the walk. The minute that we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are then supposed to start growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we begin what I call a faith walk. And what that means is that from that moment on, we no longer live our lives in a self-directed fashion. We, making our own choices and plans and all that, we live it always consulting with the Lord concerning what His will and what His purpose is. We don't live our life any longer the way the world lives it. Just by my own intelligence and plans, that there are some good things we can do there. But we also want to have the mind of the Lord in the decisions and in the choices that we make. And it also means that when problems and difficulties come, we don't just try to solve them ourselves. How many have a tendency to want to fix things yourself? I mean, I'm sure there's some, in a congregation this size, this many people together, and we want to just kind of, instead of trusting, we talk about trusting the Lord. Now, what are we talking about when we say trusting the Lord in the situation? We're talking about exercising faith. That God is in control. I may not have all the answers, but I know that God is able to work this thing out for His honor and glory, and that if I walk through this thing with Him, and instead of depending on my own strength, I look to Him for the guidance and the strength and the help and the enlightenment and whatever it is that I need, He will lead me through this, and He will not only lead me through this successfully, but He will lead me through this in a way that will ultimately bring honor and glory to Him. And how many know that that's why we're really supposed to be here, to bring honor and glory to Him? Not just to say, oh, I made it through that. I made it. I read many years ago, it said some people are so good at working their way out of difficult situations that they go around looking for difficult situations to get out of. But I hope we don't have that kind of false confidence. And life certainly has enough twists and turns without us looking for it, don't we? But as Christians, yes, I'm confident. I'm confident I'm going to make it through. But I'm not confident because of my intelligence or my ability or my ability to figure it out or whatever. But I'm confident because I know the Lord is with me. Now, we have a long list of people that lived their lives by faith. And he says some things here real quick about faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And so faith is basically focusing on the greater reality of God and His Word, His plan, His purpose, and that's what we are operating by. And it says this is what the ancients were commended for. He's talking about the ancients. but he's talking about the people that lived before us, And so we have their examples. How many are in the E100? If you're in the E100, you've already read about some of them, haven't you? Read about Noah? Huh? Read about Abraham? Some of you are maybe now reading about Moses. And they're all mentioned here in this Hall of Faith. And every single one of them, and maybe you even know, you didn't read about Abel because they did jump over that. But Abel's the first one mentioned here. He offered a better sacrifice. But each of these people, It's more than just believing there's a God. It's saying, I not only believe there's a God, but I trust God. And I'm going to follow God, and I'm going to do what God tells me. And I'm going to follow God's direction in my life. So faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. So God created by his word out of nothing. And we accept that as a premise. Then it gives us the first example. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. See, he had faith in the word of God. God had said, I need a blood sacrifice. He believed that. He acted on it. Cain said, no, I think whatever I decide to bring will be good enough. And then when it wasn't accepted, he was all bent out of shape. And then when God said, I'm giving you a second chance, if you do what is right, you too will be accepted. But he didn't want to go that route. So instead of doing that, he went and he killed his brother. And so, but Abel, even in his death, he's the first recorded death in the Bible, but it's the blood of a righteous man because he was a sinner like any of us, but he had come through the blood. So it's the blood of a righteous man. He's the first Christian martyr. And by faith, he was commended. God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead, and so forth. And we have the whole list of people here. Then we come down to the end here. In chapter 12, he lists all of this. And then he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So does this not prove that the faith thing, the faith walk, it is a daily thing? Yesterday's faith isn't going to get me through today. I had faith yesterday, but that was for yesterday. Yesterday's faith isn't going to get me through today. I've got to have an active faith in the Lord right now. Amen? Now, I eat Life cereal every morning. I'm a creature of habit. I have a little bowl of Life cereal every morning, and that and my coffee throughout the morning gets me to lunchtime. I had a bowl of cereal yesterday morning, Saturday morning. But guess what? That bowl of cereal isn't getting me through today. I had to have another bowl of cereal this morning. And guess what? Guess what about tomorrow morning? What do you think? What about Tuesday? What about, I'll say, well, I had my bowl of cereal on Monday and Tuesday, so this is Wednesday. I don't need it today. Every day. And that's the way faith is. Now, we depend on certain appliances and things. Becky got tired of being cold in the church office, and for a while, our heat wasn't working very well, so she had Mike go out and get her a little heater, and she sets it there on that table, and it just whizzes away. It's one of those things about that big square, and it's pretty, and it's got little knobs on it, and it's got a little fan in it. And you go in there, and if that thing's been running about 30 minutes, and you go in there, oh, it's so nice and warm, and it's just whizzing away. But what if somebody goes over there and unplugs it all of a sudden? What happens? Huh? How long does the heater need to stay plugged in? How about your refrigerator at home? How many of you say, I unplug my refrigerator 3 hours every day? See, faith has to be continuous, because if yesterday's faith, you know, or even 10 minutes ago, that was 10 minutes ago. I got to have faith for right now. I got to have faith for today. I got to have, it is a faith walk, and this faith is a continual thing throughout our lives. Every single day, every single new situation has to be approached the same way. What was the thing that Jesus was constantly, if there was one thing that Jesus was constantly reminding the disciples of, what was it? This very thing. O ye of little faith. They're out there. The storm hits. It is bad. It looks like the little boat is going down, and he's asleep. He's sound asleep. And they finally wake him up. They said, Lord, we're going to drown. And so he gets up, and he says a couple words, and he calms the storm, and he says, why were you afraid? What did he say? O ye of little faith. And if you read the Gospels, over and over, what Jesus is preparing the disciples for, over and over, you got to exercise your faith in the situation. My Father's big. My Father can do anything. But believe me, when you're freaking out, faith isn't in operation. And so, but does it work? Oh, absolutely. And we have the long list of people here. Now, if you want to get that thing out, here it is. We're just going to read it. We're going to read it. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. By faith, Enoch walked with God and was translated to heaven. How about that? One of only two that we know of. By faith, Noah built an ark and survived the flood. How big of a project do you think it was to build that ark? Pretty significant, right? He did it by faith. By faith, Abraham left his own country to go to the country God would show him, and in the process became heir of God's promises, the father of a nation, and the father of the faith. By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive when she was old and became the mother of a people. By faith, Abraham was not afraid to sacrifice his own son in obedience to the Lord. That is the absolute pinnacle and high point in Abraham's life. And it is at that point that God says, now I know for sure that you really trust me because you did not withhold from me your only son whom you love, Isaac, in whom are wrapped up all the promises that I've made to you. Now I know, and I swear by myself, says the Lord, that I will keep my covenant with you, and I will do everything that I have ever promised you. By faith, Isaac kept the vision going. By faith, Jacob, or Israel, passed on the blessing to his offspring. By faith, Joseph foresaw the return of the Israelites to the land God had sworn to give Abraham and his seed. And along with that, he said, and when you go, take my bones with you. By faith, Moses' parents kept him alive in defiance of the king's edict. By faith, Moses chose to forego the rights and privileges of his princely position and side instead with the oppressed people of God. By faith, Moses became a great leader in his old age and successfully led the people of God out of Egypt through the desert and to the frontier of the promised land, training Joshua to follow him in leadership after his passing. By faith, the people of God successfully conquered Jericho. How many know the story of Jericho? How they marched around, right? They didn't have battering rams. They didn't have the equipment, but God brought the walls down for them, and it was all by faith. By faith, the harlot Rahab, and this was at Jericho, and her household were saved from the destruction of Jericho, and she was given a spot in the bloodline of the Messiah because she embraced the God of Israel, left her sinful lifestyle, and married a prominent man in Israel and became one of the ladies in the bloodline of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And she is mentioned in the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. And by faith, Gideon and his 300 warriors routed the Midianite army, which it says were like locusts, which it says were like the sand of the sea for number. And God gave them a great victory that day. Are there any others? Oh, we could just keep on going. And the writer here alludes to several of them. By faith, Daniel continued to pray 3 times a day when, you know, he was under penalty of death and God delivered him from the lions. By faith, the ones we call the 3 Hebrew children refused to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's image, and they were delivered from the fire, were they not? And we could just go right on down the list of those. And every single one of them, it was by faith. It was faith that kept them going. It is faith that gives us the assurance. It is faith and trust in the Lord that is at the root of our obedience. It is faith that gives us the strength we need, gives us the assurance we need, gives us what we need in order to react correctly in the situations that we confront and that we face. And there is nothing else that will take the place of it. And God is constantly telling us in His Word, fear not. Because faith is the opposite of fear. And fear is the opposite of faith. So the Lord wants to know from us today. He wants to know from me. Not only do you believe I am, but do you believe me? Do you believe that I'm with you? Do you believe that I can lead you, guide you, strengthen you, comfort you, and give you everything you need, no matter what things hit you in life this year, or whatever the world developments are, whatever comes? Fear is a big thing in our culture and society today, and for good reason. And even in Moses' day, many doubted. Remember the spies? Well, there were 12 spies that came back from the land, and they said, oh, it's a great land and all that. But how many said there's giants and we can't take the land? How many said that? 10. How many said, because God is with us, we can go in and take the land? 2. Just Joshua and Caleb, because they were men of faith. And under Joshua, the people did go in, and Joshua and Caleb lived to see it and inherited part of the land. God's promises are real, and God's promises are true, but they are claimed and they function and they become a reality as we exercise faith in the promises of God. Does it not say in what we just read, without faith, it is what? Impossible. Not difficult. Impossible to what? Please God. So if we're going to please God this year, and some might say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. I just mean that's irrelevant. Because the issue is not that. The issue is, am I trusting God? Amen? That is the whole issue. And so for this year, believe me, this is how we're going to have to confront the challenge of this year. And here's the blanks for those of you who like to fill in the blanks all the way down there at the bottom. Uncommon challenges call for uncommon faith. And as you read this passage, I mean, some of these people did remarkable things, did they not? How about building an ark? How about routing an army of tens of thousands with 300 men? And we could just go on down the list. So you see, we read that and we're like, oh, that is so great. Suppose we had been in the situation. Would we not, at least in the natural, have felt overwhelmed? Would we not have felt the odds are impossible? But the reason that we're able to read these stories and see what God did is because they were people of faith, but did, as I said to some people yesterday, did they have all the answers? They didn't have all the answers. They were people just like us. They didn't have all the answers, but they, what? Believed God. Were they human like us? Did they have faults and flaws like us? Did Abraham have any faults and flaws? Oh, yeah, and we read about some of them. They were people just like us, but they overcame because they had faith in the Lord. Many years ago, back in, well, I say many, back around 1965, my dad was very ill. We did not know what was wrong. And none of the doctors in Puerto Rico could tell us. So we came back to the States. And as missionaries do, we started in Florida, and we worked our way little by little, visiting churches all the way up to Michigan, hit camp meeting in August, then worked our way back. And that was a year Barbara and I became an item and were engaged. And then when we got back to Florida, my dad passed away in October of 65. And my mom and I then went back to Puerto Rico for about a year and a half. And then after that, Barbara and I were married. And then she went down to Puerto Rico. And so that's why all three of our children were born in Puerto Rico. And we returned to this area in 1976. But that year, when we were on our way from Michigan back to this area and later to Florida, some friends of ours took, it might have been my dad and I, because he was still living. But anyway, they took us to see a play by some addicts. And the play was a play in which the life of a heroin addict was depicted, because that was a big thing in those days. And there was a little mission up in Brooklyn or somewhere there in New York where a mom and pop, they called them mom and pop, whatever their last name was. They had just had a little mission, but they started going out on the streets and preaching and ministering to these drug addicts. And God brought a whole bunch of these young men that were addicts and delivered them from their drugs, and almost all of them eventually went into the ministry in one form or another. One of them was John Jimenez. How many know who John Jimenez was? He was part of that group. Jerry Rutkin was one of those, son of Orthodox Jewish parents who later became a missionary in Israel. And one of them was Willie Cintron, who founded a teen challenge type work in Puerto Rico and with whom I volunteered for 5 years there in their ministry. And one of our ministers, in fact, for our church in Arecibo came out of that ministry. But they had a song that they sang, these addicts. And it's one of those that you might hear probably more in a black congregation. But they recorded it. They eventually recorded an album called The Addicts Sing. And Barbara and I had it. It was on the Word label. And I still remember that song. So if I can... Some have said, we want to hear you sing. Well, this may not be real good because I get emotional. But I love that song. And I still sing it. Because you see, these addicts who had been delivered not that long ago from that life, they were taking it. How were they taking it? One day at a time, by faith. And that's how they made it. But they made it. John Jimenez is now with the Lord. But before that, he and his wife came down here and started Rock Church. What kind of a ministry has God started there? And every single one of them made it. But this is the song. I'm going to try to sing it. And then after I go through it one time, I'm going to see if you all can maybe join me. This is how the song goes. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He never failed me yet, singing, no, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. We've come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed me yet, singing, no, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. Do some of you think you could sing it with me now? We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He never failed me yet, singing, no, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. Now here's the second verse. Don't be discouraged when troubles in your life. He'll take your burden, remove the misery and strife. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He never failed me yet, thinking, no, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. Don't be discouraged when troubles in your life. He'll take your burden, remove the misery and strife. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He never failed me yet, singing, no, oh, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. Amen. That's how we made it. And that's how we'll make it in the days ahead. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You today. We thank You that we can trust You in everything that comes our way. We thank You for all these people we read about. Help us, Lord, when we read about them, to realize that they really were people just like us and that they faced real situations, real life situations just like we do. But their faith was in You, and because of that, they emerged victorious. And today we read about them and we read about the things that You did because they had faith in You. You can only use a person who really has faith in You. So Lord, I pray today as Your people that we won't just be believers in the sense that we believe that Jesus died on the cross for us. We thank You for that. We will love You forever for that. But today You want us to exercise faith in whatever situation we're facing, and You want us to apply it to that situation, and You want us to claim Your promises because Your promises are true and they're sure and they still work. They still work even in the year 2012. So Lord, whatever we face this year, whatever any of us here this morning are facing this year, help us this morning to put it all with You and to say, Lord, this year, I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to trust Your word. I'm going to follow Your leading. I'm going to go where You send me. I'm going to say what You tell me to say. I'm going to do what You tell me to do and leave the results with You. And Lord, if we will, we're going to see You glorified in ways that maybe we never imagined. We thank You. We give You all the glory in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. We're going to have our closing hymn. It's about a relationship with Him. If you have anything to share during this closing hymn, feel free to come and share it. And then right after that, we'll be dismissed.